Testing, coming through. 1, 2, 3. Do you hear me back there? Okay, good. Okay. Let's just ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much that you love us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus coming, dying in our place, rising from the dead, and offering us life. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. We thank you, praise you, for this wonderful hope, this wonderful reality, this wonderful door to eternity. So, Father, we do pray tonight that you will guide us, guard us. May your word be treated truthfully, may we be guided by your Spirit. May the words that you want said be said in the way you want them said. So we just pray that you will put together our time in your way. In Christ's name, amen. It started years ago when we bought our first Lego set for our boys, just little guys, and it's amazing how that has continued. We buy Legos for our grandchildren, but we still have to buy a token Lego set for our grown sons. So you buy a little bigger set for the grandkids, but you still have to have something for dad. And so it's kind of funny over the years how this building process goes on. We had so much Lego. The boys had left. We had two tubs of Lego, and that was an accumulation of years. But they still love to build, and I'm amazed. I watched my little grandson Levi, and he's pretty sharp. He's better than I am. We were putting together something he got for Christmas. I couldn't even keep up with him, so I just let him do it. But you know, the building. If you look at the building of a Lego set, whatever set it is. It's really an amazing, amazing project. You know, the Lord wants us to build his church. We have a part in that. Now, obviously, he's the one that is the director. He's over it. He's the one who loves his church. But we're to be a part of that. Now, we talked about this morning. We're trying to think about God's purpose for his church. What does God want to accomplish through us? And as we said this morning, if we're going to be and use simple terminology, obviously we want to exalt Christ, but to do that we want to please Christ. Whatever we do, we're to do it as unto him. We're to please him. Our ambition should be to please him, as it says in 2 Corinthians. To please the Lord Jesus. And because he's the head of the church, as we please the head of the church, we will actually accomplish the will of the Lord. We please him. And that should be the filter, the direction that we measure what we do and what we don't do, what we try to accomplish, how we go about ministry. Evaluating, and I think it's one of the critical things for us, is to continually ask the question, what is his desire for us? To pray for that, pursue that, and honor him by doing that. But, and as we said, it requires his empowerment. You know, I've used this verse a number of times. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible in John 15. He talks about, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And we can't please him. We can't bring about what he wants us to do apart from his empowering presence. So we stay close to him through his word and through prayer. We please him by abiding in him. Nothing else will matter if we don't do that. But as we please him and we abide in him, we then are to build up the body of Christ. We abide in Christ. We then do in responding both to his work in us and our responsibilities, we build up his body. We want to talk about that. What does it mean to build up the body of Christ. Well, let's begin, first of all, by looking at Ephesians. Again, we talked about this. We went to Ephesians and Colossians a lot this morning. I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians has so much to say about the church, and I want to look at several verses. The kind of the context begins in verse 11 of what I want to focus on. In verse 11 of Ephesians 4, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets. Now we think of the early New Testament, the 12 apostles and the New Testament prophets, and some as evangelists. Obviously we have evangelists, those who are gifted in this realm, and some as pastors and teachers. They shepherd God's flock. We're not so much thinking about a pastor, but people who have the gift of pastoring, of shepherding, and caring for God's people, and teachers. Now, those are some of these gifts that get kind of help the church become what it needs to be, help the saints be what they need to be. They're being equipped. Notice verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, the equipping of these gifted individuals, they equip the saints so that the saints can do the work of service. The saints growing, being built up, equipped, they do the work of service, and as a result of that, to the building up of the body of Christ, to the building up of the body of Christ. So as we are equipped by those who have ministered to us, then we are to turn around and serve, and in our service we build up. Now our service is unique. Each of us have different giftings, have different skills, have different interests, and God wants to use each of us in unique places, in unique ministries. And as we do that, as we respond to the Lord, we allow him to work in and through us, the body is built up. We are actually part of this building process of the body of Christ. Now, again, this just highlights it, but it restates it. If you drop your eyes down to verse 16. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. Now, I think it's important to look at every joint. That's a picture of the joint, picture of this individual saints. All of us are to be a part. It's one of the things that sometimes cripples ministry when you think only a few select people are involved. But thank the Lord for all the people that serve at Edmondson. Just think, such a diversity of ministries. But according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. It causes the growth of the body for the building up. As the body grows, it builds up more. It builds up more itself in love. And love is a key component. We please Christ when we are a part of the building project. We're building up the body. Building up the body. And there's so many different ways that that can occur. Because Christ loves his church. When we are building up his church, a part of that process, that is very, very significant to him because he loves his church. And we need to love his church. And I think sometimes, you know, it's just part of spiritual warfare in our world. You know, the church has been written off. It's got a bad name. I'm talking church in general. And so we just think, well, it's kind of a club gone wrong. You know, it's just a bunch of people, they get together, but, you know, it's meaningless, insignificant, and it's written off by the culture, which we expect that. The Lord Jesus told us, don't be surprised. But we need to not take on that attitude. We need to think, man, what a wonderful privilege. And Mike shared that a little bit into some of the things he said. What a wonderful privilege to be a part of the same family. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be. And so of who the leaders are or anything, but just what God puts together. And we thank him. Now, let's just think of some of the things, and these are just some of the things that are needed to occur and to happen for Christ's body to be built up, for us and our local assembly to be built up. Now, first, we'll go to is the teaching of the word. And I'm going to go all the way back to 1 Timothy 4:16. 1 Timothy 4:16. Paul is talking to Timothy, and he has some very important instructions for him, but for all those who are ministering and especially those who are involved in teaching. But it says, Paul says to his mentoree, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Now notice, pay close attention to yourself. We all need to watch how are we doing spiritually? Watch ourselves. And to your teaching, to what you're sharing, communicating. Persevere in these things. We need to stay at this until the day we're with the Lord. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Now, salvation is a broad word. Sometimes it's used especially of when a person first trusts Christ and they have eternal life. But in this context, notice he says salvation for yourself. He's not talking about Timothy making sure you don't lose your salvation. He's saying it's used in the realm, we could say, sanctification. This will ensure your ongoing sanctification. Let's put it simple, your ongoing spiritual growth. If you attend to that, you watch yourself, you watch your teaching. And this is going to help you, not only for yourself, but it's going to help those around you. It's going to help them keep growing in the Lord. And so this is very, very critical. The Word of God, and I'm just talking to the choir here, I know that. But the Word of God must always be a key component of our ministry and church. Now, I know you know that. But the Word of God is under constant attack. Satan constantly attacks. I mean, in some places, what we would say is a church on the outside, you would go in and the Bible has been basically erased. It is considered to have errors in it. It's just man's made up ideas. I mean, that's not just in the outside secular world, but sometimes in the churchy world. We're not talking necessarily Christian. A lot of times we're talking a liberal, very liberal mindset. But we need to make sure we hold to the teaching of the Word. And think about our ministries. All the time, different ways this is done. I understand on Friday night they had a really good youth group. You know, it just got off into a real good start. So thank the Lord, the word goes out, right? The scriptures go out. It goes out at this level, a younger group, an audience. But boy, how desperately that young group needs a word, right? Needs a truth. And so thank the Lord for that. Think of time out and the ministry there. Think of little cubbies, all these different things. Thank the Lord, the teaching of the word. Now, this is one we talked this morning, but again, we cannot lose this. Let's go to John 15:12. I'm not telling you anything here that you don't know, but I want us to be reminded by the Lord Jesus, John 15:12. This, the Lord Jesus said, and I highlighted this morning, I just want to move it at a moment, but this is part of building up the body. This is my commandment, the Lord Jesus said, John 15:12. John 15:12. This is my commandment, Lord, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Actually, this is part of our, if you look in the chapel manual on our purpose, the last, there's four things set out, and I've just kind of, just basically I'm within the same vein, but just adjusted a little bit. But this is the fourth one, it's highlighted. And expressly to express love. Expressly, it highlights expressing love. Just like we saw, we are not going to grow. If that Ephesians 4 passage, we're not going to grow if we don't continue to grow in love. Right? We just know that. You cannot be fussing and fighting and be growing. And we know that we've got to keep nurturing this. And this is something that, again, in Scripture is highlighted. I give you another passage in Philippians 1:9. And I'll just highlight these first. That it's a prayer. This I pray, Paul's praying, obviously, that your love may abound still more and more. That your love, there's never a time when we can say we've accomplished that. We've got all the love we need. It always needs to expand, to grow. Love does not mean that I just like people that I like. Love does what's best for all the saints And sometimes some of the saints that don't like us. Those are the hardest ones, right? When a brother or sister, and you have no reason to doubt that they're a Christian, but they, for some reason, they just don't like you. And what the Lord says is we have to love them. If you have a situation, you have an opportunity, you do what's best for that person, right? You don't try to run them down. I mean, you may need to talk to them and say, hey, what's going on here? But you love them, right? And when we see, isn't it just wonderful when you see these little kids running around? I just think that's a wonderful thing. But we want those little kids, whether they're this high or this high or this high, we want them to know we love those kids. They are important to us, and we want the best for them. And so we want to be a place that people know that they're loved. They feel that they're loved. They sense they're loved. Now, this is the next one, and again, this is no surprise, but I think it's so critical. I'm so thankful for it, but we need to continue at it. Ephesians 6:18. Let's go to this passage. And this is on prayer. This is on prayer. Ephesians 6:18. And I read this with all prayer. Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit. Now, we're to be empowered by the Spirit. Nudged by the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, for all the saints. Just as Mike mentioned, thanks for praying for them and their ministry to this lady. I think a Wednesday night, I wonder how much what spiritual accomplishment is the result of prayer on Wednesday night. Liam has a burden for prayer, and we get together maybe once a month on a Saturday morning to pray. We'll never know until we get to heaven the impact of our prayers. But we do know this. We are instructed, we're commanded, we're nudged continually to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We need to continue. Just because we don't see an immediate result, we need to remember God answers prayer. And we don't understand all the dynamics of it. But there are going to be things that happen, maybe even after we're gone from this planet, if the Lord tarries, things that will happen on the planet, things that will happen in the lives, let's say in the lives of your children or your grandchildren. They're going to be the result of your prayers. They're going to be the result. I know if you have grandchildren, you are probably praying for them every day. Every day. And you say, God, protect them. I pray, God, save them. God, save them. I pray for their salvation. I pray their protection. I pray for their transformation, that they'll come to Christ and they'll grow in the Lord. God, just put your arm, just keep these kids safe. They're coming up in a different world than I came up in. God, hold them and carry them. And so we pray that for all of the saints, are those that God puts in our family here. And then serving one another. Again, this is a given in many ways, but I'm just going to read this to you for time. But Galatians 5:13, through love, serve one another. Now, again, the importance of love. Through love, serve one another. Galatians 5:13, through love, because I love, I serve. If we don't serve, the question is, how much do I love? But through love, serve. What excites me? And I say to people, thank you. Like Everett, getting this thing wasn't working a little bit ago, and he fiddled with it and got it going, right? Well, I'm thankful for that. Thank you, Everett. He served, right? He served. And remember several weeks back, they were working on that door. That door wasn't quite right, and there was tape on it, and it was frustrating and wasn't working. Well, thank the Lord for those individuals who worked on that door so we could walk in and out. Isn't that something? People that do stuff here in the middle of the week, nobody knows what happened. Nobody knows the work they've done. Think of the trees that you didn't even remember the trees, right? They were back there. And I know some people cut those trees down, right? Without killing themselves. It was a great thing. So anyway, you think, all the way people serve us. And see, that's how we keep building one another up. Through, you know, so many different facets of service. And don't ever minimize, you know, say, well, you know, I don't have the gift of such and such. No. We need all the contributions, all the service. And the more all of us realize, you know, this is my little niche or whatever that niche is, and God uses you, and you built somebody up. You help them. You encourage them. Now, they might not even know exactly what you did, but to be, think what it is for the people that make sure this building is warm. I mean, if you came in and this building was freezing, don't you think you might have something to say? You'd have a little suggestion, all right? Yeah, I have a suggestion. Yeah, hang that guy who did that, right? Who didn't turn the heat on, right? No, we thank the Lord for all the people that serve us so effectively. But this is part of being a body and building it up. Now, I think this is an important one as well. 1 Peter 4:10, in the same realm of service, but this is in the realm of gifting. As each one has received a special gift. Now, just think, you have a gift. Now, I realize a lot of people don't really realize what their gift is. I understand that. But each one of us has a special gift, a gift. Employ it, use it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You are a steward. You have a gift, and it's a grace gift. I've heard it referred to as that, and that's consistent with this passage. It's a grace gift. You have a gift. It's something that we don't deserve. It's something we couldn't earn, but it was given to us. It's a grace gift, and we're a steward of that gift. And that means one day we'll answer to the Lord, well, what were you doing with that thing? You know, did you use it? Now, a lot of people don't know what their gifting is. And I think it'd be valuable probably, you know, to do a little reading or read about the gifts. And it might even be good to do a series on that. But I think the thing to do, even if you don't know your gift, what is the area of interest that you have? And when you do something, and, you know, sometimes you'll say, I'll never do that again. Well, that's all right. You know, that fell flat. That's all right. But what about the areas of interest that you did? And actually, something good happened as a result. It was actually successful. It was a result. And you realize what will happen is if for people who never serve, they're not going to know their gift. But when you move out and you serve in this area or that area, and first in our Christian life, a lot of times we'll have unique little slots of opportunity. If you're faithful in where God plants you, where he starts you, and you just keep serving the Lord, he's going to show you some areas that you're strong in. And that's probably going to show up on what your gifting is. You might have one gift, you might have two gifts, you might have three gifts, but God will show you. Just serve the Lord. And he'll show you where to keep serving. This worked out really well. I'm surprised. I'm surprised it worked, right? Because God gives us gifts. And we're, you know, we, like I've said this before, but, you know, I'm such an introvert growing up. Mom said to me one time, she says, well, maybe the Lord's going to lay his hand. This is a whole another story I won't go into. Well, the Lord's going to lay his hand on you and you'll be a preacher. I said, he's going to have to lay it awful hard. Because the last thing I wanted to do is be up in front of people. Now, you probably find that hard to believe right now. But that I did not want to be up in front of people. You could put me in a room, and I'd be perfectly happy being silent. But God, he put me in certain circumstances. And eventually, I thought, well, I have to do this, right? And so God, you just stay faithful where you're at, and God will use you. And use us in ways that will probably surprise us. I think this is another area, and of course we could say many, many things, but fellowship is one of these things. And fellowship's a broad term, but I just thought I'd mention it. Acts 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, which we've already dealt with, and to fellowship. Fellowship involves sharing our lives with one another. Now, that has a lot of different ways that we can share. We might just share some food with somebody. We might share a story. We might just spend time together. We might pray together, but we share. We share in our lives. And, you know, we need people to share with. It's something that God calls us to share our lives. I'm gonna deal with one other one that's a little. This is one we're very uncomfortable with, I think, most of the time. Let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, if you want to turn there with me. But this is one we probably should practice more than we do. And I don't have any specific situation in mind when I say that. But I want to talk about restoring one another. Restoring one another. When a brother or sister gets into spiritual trouble, sin has walked into their life, they've opened the door, they're starting to spiral down, and we see that something is wrong. And in Matthew 18:15, it says, "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother." Now, of course, then it goes through the whole other steps to take. My point is not to go through all these steps. But when we see a brother or sister in trouble, may God give us the courage to love them enough to try to help them and turn them back to the Lord. Restoring a brother. Now, now look at this passage, if you will, in Galatians 6:1. Galatians 6:1 deals with this stating, and I think encourages us. Brethren, Galatians 6:1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, in other words, those who are a little more mature, those who have been down the road a little further, those who are doing all right spiritually, restore, that's our word, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And we're not talking about being harsh and running people off and being mean-spirited. But in gentleness, restore such a one, each one looking to yourself. Now, if you're dealing with somebody involved in sin, you need to watch your own heart. There may be something in your own heart you need to deal with. And we need to make sure we don't fall into their sin. If it's some kind of sin that would be very tempting to you, be very, very careful. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. So I think that's one of those areas we're not comfortable with. And may God give us love for people enough. We've said this before, love tells the truth. And if someone is in sin, their life is crumbling. Sin always ruins, it destroys, it warps, it's destructive. We want to pull people out of that when we love them. And it takes a lot of wisdom, and sometimes people are not going to be happy at all. I know some people that, you know, if you can get close to challenging them, boy, they're upset and, you know, everything and flying off the handle and mad at you and all of that. But if you love them, God is probably nudging us to help them. And of course, there's a whole series of things that we could think about on that. Now, let me just ask this. Of the things that we need to do to build up, there are many other things we could add. Let me just ask you to ask yourself, what would Christ have me do, or just, to build up the body? What would Christ have me do? Maybe I'm doing it, and maybe I need to adjust it a little bit. Maybe I need to do something I haven't done at all. Maybe there's something that I've been trying to do that's really not what God wants me to do. But God wants each of us to be in this building project. And does he want us to grow in our love? Well, yeah, for all of us. Remember, love may it abound still more and more. Maybe we need to be more sensitive. Maybe we need to pray more faithfully. Maybe we need to serve more consistently with our gifting. Serve in areas where we're more effective. Just think. And I think asking the Lord Jesus, Father of Heaven, what is it that you want to adjust? Is there an adjustment? I mean, growing in the Lord results in change. There's adjusting. And does it mean that what has happened in the past is not good? But a lot of times God is adjusting us. And the one thing I'm seeing as I'm going through different seasons of life, some things I did in earlier seasons, God doesn't call me to do that at this point in time. So, you know, your seasons change and your adjustments need to adjust to different seasons and different kinds of ministries and approaches and all of those areas. Now, building up the body of Christ is one of the things that touches the heart of Christ. We please him when we build each other up. Now, look at the last realm, and I want to spend the latter part of reaching out to those without Christ. We are to love the lost. And it's easier for love ourselves, our family, you know, people we're in agreement with, but we're to love the lost. Ray Ortland years ago wrote, "First comes Christ, then comes one another in Christ, then comes the world for whom Christ died." We're to reach out to those without Christ. Now, this is also in our statement of our chapel on purpose. And it states it this way. It is our purpose to share the good news of Jesus Christ as widely and effectively as possible. I thought that's a good way to state it. To share Christ as widely and as effectively as possible. Obviously, we all think of Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go therefore. Now, sometimes it's just going across the street. But we're to go with the intent people will come to Christ and then they'll become disciples. They'll become strong. Make disciples of all nations. Now, I just want to deal with several points, and there are many things that could be said. We need to live worthy of the gospel. I want to just go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1. Lifestyle, how we live our life, is critical component in our witness. And I know you realize that, but I just want you to see it again in Scripture. Philippians 1, 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Our lives need to be consistent with our message. If we say, oh man, you need to get saved. You know, I have life. But we're living like zombies, spiritual zombies. We're living contrary to Christ. Our action undercut our testimony. And it's hard living for Christ in our world. You know, some of the young people who are, you know, in work settings, hey, baby, there's nobody in that work setting that's a believer. You know, and there are all kinds of stories being shared and people curse and there, you know, all kinds of stuff. Well, the danger, obviously, is you don't want to be seen as weird, so you just don't say anything, or if you dare laugh or whatever. You know, we need to keep our conduct consistent with our message so that Christ is honored and people realize, you know, this Christianity does make a difference, and it's a positive difference. We're to walk wisely. I'm in the same category, but in Colossians 4:5 it says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Now, just think about opportunity, making the most of that opportunity. We need wisdom. When you're dealing with one neighbor, you know, I think of one neighbor and trying to relate to that person. I need to be wise. This one man is a friend of ours, and I have a good relationship, and we laugh about. I think I gave him a tract. I don't know, over a year and a half ago. He says, oh, "I'll read that sometime." It's on his best his on his table right by his bed. You might pray he read it, right? And we gave them a book, a Christian kind of Christmas at Christmas, and so you know, just trying to be wise. You know what? How can I get closer to them? How can I be a testimony to them? I find that he's really watching our lives. He's really watching. And he said something one day and made me realize, man, he's watching closer than I thought. And but anyway, our conduct, wise conduct. Now, we need contact. It's not that we just, you know, spray ourselves with insect repellent and stay away from non-Christians. That's not what we're supposed to do. We need to have contact, but wise contact. making sure our attitude is right again, and our speech. Now, notice this in this Colossians passage, if you're there, it drops down to verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you know how to respond to each person. And, of course, that falls fully in line with what Ross shared with us last Sunday evening. Our speech, being so careful with what we say. And I've said more as I get older, I'm very thankful for the things I didn't say. You think, oh man, I so had this idea, you know, you're frustrated or upset. I'm so glad I didn't say that. And there are some things I've had to either apologize for or ask for forgiveness for, things that I did say. But may our speech be careful in our testimony. Now, we've said this, but to pray for those without Christ. Now, there's one passage that comes to my mind, is Romans 10:1 on this, Romans 10:1, and it talks about praying. Paul's praying for his Jewish unbelieving acquaintances, and he says in Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For their salvation. How we need to pray for family members. A lot of us have family members who don't know the Lord. Pray for co-workers. God puts us in situations to rub shoulders with that person. That person, maybe nobody else has rubbed shoulders with them who knows Christ. Pray for those co-workers. Pray for our neighbors, and pray for those around the world. I was reminded of this story. F.B. Meyer, who was a famous British preacher, one night he stayed over at the house of A.B. Simpson, who was the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And Mr. Myers got up early the next morning. He thought he was the only one up because he was up so early, and he kind of tiptoed down the stairs. But he wasn't the first one up. And the doorway to Mr. Simpson's office was open just a crack, and he could see that his friend, A.B. Simpson, was praying. And he had a globe, and he would spin the globe, and he'd put his finger on something, and he'd pray for whatever country or place his finger landed on, and he would pray. And then he'd spin it again and put his finger on and pray for that country. Then F.B. Meyer observed, and of course, Mr. Simpson didn't realize that he was watching. After he had kind of finished that part, Mr. Simpson leaned over and he picked up the whole globe and he wrapped his arms around it and he just began to weep. Because one thing he loved, he cared about lost people. And he prayed for lost people. And he wept for lost people. May God give us a heart for lost people. May we love them. It says we're to grow in our love for one another, but it also says we're to grow in our love for all men. And the most wonderful thing that could happen to those outside of Christ is that they might come to Christ. And I know we all have people that are lost that we love. We need to pray for them. We need to pray. As we all know stories where somebody has prayed for a person for 40 years and the person who prayed died, and then a couple of years later that person got saved. And we just need to keep praying, encourage you, pray. And you know what? May God bring people here. We've had some people come that we don't know where they're at. We don't think some of them know the Lord. Just pray for their salvation. Pray that God will open their hearts and open their eyes spiritually to Christ. The next point I want to highlight is to witness for Christ. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's Philippians 1:27. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. I think Awana, I just thank the Lord that those of you serve in Awana. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Hope Valley. I think it's a wonderful thing that we have Hope Valley so close and the gospel goes out. The gospel goes out. And then just personal witness. Just think of somebody you want to talk to and you're scared to talk to them, or you don't have, how are you going to reach out to them? May God help us say, give us the wisdom to say what and when he wants us to speak. Witness for Christ. and to send out workers. This is another area. Remember in Acts 13, it's talking to Barnabas and Saul and the church. They sent them out. They sent them out. We need to be involved, and we are, but we just need to continue to send out, to send out. Some years ago, I remember I received a letter from a New Tribes missionary, and he gave me this letter, and then in that letter was this story. There was a tribal man. He came into a village one day and approached a missionary. He began to speak, but as he talked, he began to remove sticks out of his bag and throw them to the ground. He told the missionary how his people were dying and needed to know the truth. He was sent to send a missionary back to the village. At this time, he was still throwing sticks out of his bag. The missionary listened as a man told him that his tribe would build the person who would come to their tribe, a home, plant a fenced-in garden, and basically meet all of their needs if they just wanted to hear the truth. The missionary let the man finish and said to this man, "I am so sorry, but we just do not have anyone to send. We are already short-staffed." The tribal man was sorely saddened, and he began to walk away. While he was leaving, the missionary ran and caught up with him as he was going. And he asked the man, he says, "What did it mean for you throwing those sticks out of that bag?" The tribal man turned to the missionary and said, "Each stick I threw down to the ground represents someone in my village who will die without knowing the truth." May God help us continue in this process of sending out. I think of people, you know, where they're close. We think of Laura J. again in Hope Valley. Did you see that little email from Nathaniel Buck on our prayer chain? Nathaniel, who's in ministry in a land that is not necessarily a very safe zone, but he said this, and this is on our prayer chain. Please keep me in your thoughts as I am going to a specific neighborhood every Wednesday and Friday to share the good news for the rest of January and February. And then he said after that he'll probably change where he goes. But I think part of that is safety. And you ought to read that article, and then he has an additional letter. But think of the people that God, you know, that have gone out that we, and thank the Lord, I thank the Lord for those who are involved in the missionary breakfast and that encouragement. I thank those who have had a heart over the years, far before my time, to consistently pray for missionaries and send money to missionaries and be involved in missions. That needs to just keep on keeping on. Because we need to love lost people, whether we've met them, whether we meet them now or in eternity. We want people to come to Christ. And so we want to pray that God will use us in that, to be a link in that whole process of getting out the gospel. And then I want to conclude with this one. Pray for each of us, for one another, to have boldness. Let's go to Ephesians 6:10, and then I'll stop. Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer, and then he talks about praying, and we read this before, so I just want to drop down to verse 19. And pray on my behalf, and that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with all boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I think one thing we probably should do more of is to pray for one another to have boldness. Boldness. Isn't it amazing how we cower at the moment when we might have an opportunity? Isn't it amazing how you just kind of fade when there's an opportunity, and then later on you feel guilty that you didn't say anything? I mean, my hand goes up. And so may we pray for one another to have boldness, boldness. We're not talking about being, you know, crude or anything, but we're saying, may God help us speak up. May God give us opportunity. May we go shoulder to shoulder with unbelievers, and then God give us that right opportunity and give us boldness to share with them because we love them. May God give us that love. When we think about this, we think of, you know, pursuing to please Christ. by abiding in Christ, by building up the body of Christ, by reaching out to those without Christ. I think of on the farm when you would start planting corn, and you would plant corn, and those first few rows were really, really important because you were trying to make that as straight as possible. Because in our part of the world, you would cut the furrows, the ditches, so that you could run irrigation water down those furrows. So it was important to get that as straight as you could, because if you didn't get that first few rows straight, by the time you got to the other end of that field, you were going like that, and the water was going like, you know, it was all whacked out. And so you wanted to make that straight. You know, when we want to make sure, as we go along as a church, we keep our purpose, we stay straight with God's purpose for us, that we stay straight with what he wants us to do, that we will please the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, by abiding in him, by building up those who know him, and reaching out to those who are yet outside, who haven't come to know him. Let's ask God to help us. God, we need help. You know that. In all of these realms, may we be the people that please the Lord Jesus by staying straight with his purpose, his priorities. We ask this in Jesus' name.